Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy B. Freeman, and our executive director, Cooper. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week. No, we didn't. This week was brought to you by people being absolutely shocking at keeping secrets, and the dialogue was mostly written by Harold Pinter. We began the week with Jimmus giving us an interesting rundown on the history of hot cross buns. Inform, educate and entertain, you know. But I did think he got it a bit wrong. The importance of hot cross buns is not to make us aware of Good Friday, but to drive everyone on Twitter crackers when Waitrose produces novelty ones like toffee and creosote and start selling them on Boxing Day. Helen was managing to sound as threatening to Lee as Rob was to Helen. You're not going to say anything, are you, Lee? The thing is with threatening someone is the person being threatened has got to be bright enough to realise that's what's happening. Lee cried a bit, wet himself, then galloped off to tell Pat and Tony. Oh, for God's sake, Lee, said Helen. Don't tell anyone else then, all right? Natasha turned up, said hello to Helen, and Helen immediately said, oh, all right then, you got it out of me, and coughed the whole thing. I am sensing you have doubts about Rob, said Natasha keenly. However, she decided to accompany Helen to Thursday's meeting, which turned out to be with Jess. To be honest, if I was going to go and face down someone scary, I'd always like a small angry Welsh woman with me, ideally one who's just come off a hen night. Jess was all over the shop and deeply useless as a contact. In fact, Natasha got quite shirty at her inability to provide anything exciting, and so in lieu of drama on the spot, got home and sparked a massive row with Tom instead. Mia decided to out Justin by coming over all anarchist and mysterious. I have contacts. A network, she said. Has she, Eck? She's got Brad, who's about to be banged up for benching and entering. She went head to head with Jimmus, who followed this week's theme of total inability to keep his gob shut, by declaring that he knew the ropes of industrial sabotage and then immediately gave away the name of the person behind the charging station and had to crawl humiliatingly to his teenage nemesis to plead with her not to tell anyone. Georgie referred to himself as a scumbag for smashing up Caroline's bench, but offered to fix it, despite Oliver declaring that it was all right, he was going to get in a professional bench fixer. But they charge a lot. Professional bench fixers, said Georgie. Carpenter! It's called a carpenter. Were they short on word count? Obviously, Dumb and Dumber were nicked for smashing up the bench and called to the police station by harassment, who proceeded to play good cop and the other cop. Brad got himself so tangled up in shadowy figures that at one stage it sounded as if there were about eight of them milling around outside the hotel, and then Georgie dobbed Brad right in it. Tracy appealed to Oliver's better nature, but he wasn't listening, as he seemed to be reading the dialogue from The Caretaker as Michael Caine, with great big long pauses in between his sentences. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it. Ardil impressed Jimmus by reading a biography of Graham Greene, which I think is supposed to reinforce to us that he is not a corporate yes man, which was slightly patronising. An utterly bizarre summit meeting then took place between Ian, Adam and Chris. They all talked over each other to such an extent that I thought something had gone wrong with the edit. Then after 2 hours, well, it felt like that, of it's what she would have wanted, they decided that the ideal way to heal the rift caused by Martha's 15,000 quid was to encourage Alice to start bell ringing. But the revelation of the week was Pat. Indiana Pat and the Temple of Yogurt, a one-woman vigilante mission, armed with a shotgun and a pocket full of soup, taking on all comers. She'd fantasised about killing Rob, she told Tom, shamefaced. Pat, we've all fantasised about killing Rob. Some of us have fantasised about killing you. It's all relative. And thank God, none of you are ours. The end.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you made sense of the week for me.
Well, barely. I mean, I was hanging on. It was a tough call.
I mean, even by Tuesday, I was like, this must be a Nick Warburton week. There were so many pauses. No, it was a contrast because either there were massive pauses or, as you said, everyone talked over each
yeah.
other.
Yeah. And then it was like some bits of it had been speeded up and then they put in a few gaps in round over.
It was so weird. I wondered if it was because all the overlappy stuff, maybe that made them short on time. So when it came to Oliver's monologue, they had to really slow him down.
You're a big man, but you're out of shape. That's what I was honest. And this evening when he was talking to Georgie. No. Yeah. Yeah. No, Brad. Yeah. When Brad said, I'm sorry, Oliver. And he was going, all right, you're sorry. What are you going to do about it? And I thought any minute now he's going to, you know, whip out a sawn off and clout him around the end of it.
It was really weird. I thought Oliver was so weird this week. But I guess I made it make sense in my head because he was so upset and shaken.
And also we don't know what Georgie told Harassment about.
Yeah,
That he might have said it was Brad's idea and I was following Brad.
But I mean, Oliver's not stupid. That's
well, everybody seems to be stupid around George. They just kind of go, yeah. All right. Then it's like he hypnotises them. He's like a sort of midget Derren Brown. I don't understand
But I thought Oliver was a bit over the top. I mean, they did a really silly thing, but it was on an 18th birthday and they, you know, and it was obvious to the bench, as if there's no way Brad was going to do that on purpose. But then I sort of thought, but Oliver was so hurt by it. And so he felt that they'd humiliated him. And
but when he was talking to Tracy, even, she said, do you know what you're going to do, Oliver? And he said, I don't know. I haven't thought about it yet.
And then the episode ended with him going, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to press charges. But it was all very delivered. But it is also that Nick Warburton thing of repetition. So
a bench,
and for your 18th birthday, for your 18th, it's like every sentence seems to be have a you know, a repetition, a question. You know, it's questioned, and I don't know why. I think he writes really well, doesn't he? In that it's supposed to come across as very natural speech.
Yeah.
But I played it again this week on 1.25, which is my preferred speed for the Archers. And it sounds much better. That sort of, you know, the even the overlapping, but definitely the pausey bits.
Right.
It all sounds much better. Because I think the trouble is when they're overlapping and stuff, sometimes it doesn't quite work, does it?
Mm.
You know, like I found the... the Chris, Adam, Ian scene really weird. You completely hit the nail on the head because it was so weird. It was like sort of some psychedelic dream, wasn't it? They were going round and round in circles. I was thinking, where are we going with
this? And then it would stop and then it would all start again.
Yeah.
And then they ended up.
Yeah, the climax. Solution,
the solution was nothing to do with the problem. What are we going to do about the fact that all the other grandchildren are pissed off? Alice should bell ring. But it was like two, you know, like, you know, when they talked about a car being I've forgotten the word, cut and shut, where they splice two completely different cars together. That was like, the beginning of the scene was one thing and the back half was a different thing.
Well, it was so intense, all that sort of, it wasn't your fault. I didn't say it was her fault. Yeah. No, but you did say it was my fault. No, I wouldn't.
Ian's going, I hate everybody. You're all bastards. I don't even want to be here.
Fine, I'll make the tea. And then it was like, bell ringing.
I've got the perfect solution. but that's the perfect solution to a different question though, Chris. We weren't saying that. But thanks.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know if I love that style or...
It's very un-Archers. It's very afternoon.
It is un-Archers. And I think that's why it jars with us a bit. It really stands out, doesn't it? Because it's so different to the normal writing.
Because you can't listen. You can't half listen to it. If you'd listen, if you were packing the tumble dryer when that conversation...
That's why I had to listen again.
So... that conversation between all three of them, you wouldn't have stood a chance at making head or tail of that.
That is right. The point of the Archers is it's background blur.
And everybody speaks slowly. Clearly.
And like Alice, when you articulate everything and end everything with consonants. That's good. Because I can't understand, Dad, why you would not trust me. I like that because, as you said, you don't have to listen. It just goes into your ear and the information is retained.
Yes. It's like thinking that you can revise by listening to a sleep tape.
If you tried to revise to Adam, Ian and Chris, I mean, it's like being haunted, isn't it? It'd just be like these sort of three like poltergeists in your brain messing you up. It's horrible.
Poltergeists didn't even make sense either. They were just, you know, surrealist poltergeists.
It dragged a bit, didn't it? Mm-hmm. I thought the Oliver stuff unnecessarily dragged because it was it was a good storyline in that, you know, the twist of George, George coming across as the goody and tricking Brad and all that. It was all quite clever, I thought. But the whole sort of Oliver's forgiveness and all that. And also, I know why. I did like the fact that Oliver was saying to Tracy, you can't put everything down to him being a follower. He's got to learn.
Yeah.
So by the end of the week, he had learned, hadn't he, that he has to take responsibility for himself.
Yes, I did do a small cheer when he said, I'm not following you anymore, George.
Anymore, especially the great game balls. Yeah. I didn't hear the bench crack, did you?
No.
On the Sunday, was it the Sunday was the party? Was it the Friday? I can't remember.
Friday.
Oh, okay. I don't remember the bench.
No.
But that's not important. We know it happened.
Yes. I heard them saying, let's drag that old bench over, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And you thought they were talking about Clary. No, that didn't work.
Clary's not an old
thing. No, it didn't work at all. It's because we're both tired, Lucy. Yes. It's post 9 p.m. and we've both had a long week. And you've been in hospital afternoon.
not
for yourself.
No, not for myself.
Before everybody writes in, she's okay. She's okay. She was helping a rally. She's okay.
Yes.
Natasha was funny.
I'll
be as quiet as... You won't even know I'm here. Don't worry. I'll be really quiet.
Would you like you to are? Go and sit somewhere else? Well, I'm not going to.
Yeah. And then she was like, well, what do you... She was so horrible to Jess.
She really was.
What do you know? Have you been in touch with him?
She was so disappointed when she said, Rob's back. And she went, well, we know that.
Oh, yeah. I know.
You duh brain.
She's so desperate to soak up the drama, as you said.
Yeah.
It's so funny what you said about, and then she didn't get any, so she had to go and have a massive row with Tom.
I remember listening to Jenny Eclair once, and she said sometimes she could be having a really nice romantic evening with her husband, and they're all curled up on the sofa, and they're watching something good, and everything's calm and lovely. And she said this little voice in her head goes, everything's calm and lovely. Let's smash that up. So she turns around to her husband and says, You never did do the lawn, did you? And then they go, nah, 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 within a second and a half. And she said, I don't know why I do that, but that's exactly what Natasha does.
Oh my God, I hope that is human nature because I feel like that's pretty much mine and Rufus's relationship as well. I think it makes things work better if you can have a really good shouting match every so often.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a bit like, you know, some people have to create a drama, don't they, for their, you know, if everything's, I can't say who it is, but a member of my family, if things are going fine, especially if that person hasn't heard from us for a while.
Right.
They like to just throw in a little bomb, and just something a little bit provocative to start a drama.
Yeah.
And it's. I don't know why, but I guess it's just how some people need to live their lives.
Well,
a bit like Natasha.
It's a way of asking for attention without actually saying.
Must be. Yeah, like Rex.
Yeah.
If you know, he'll just hit me.
Oh. Okay.
It's his new thing.
Good. Is that better than
look
him
at
telling
me, mummy.
Strangers that he's tired and sad and hungry?
It's just basically he's been ignored all week and he's developed hitting.
Oh, I see.
In that time. It's fine. We had a little chat about it, Lucy.
Did you talk about, what did you say?
Because he hits me and then I in a very, what was that parenting I was trying to do? Patient parenting.
Yes, patient parenting.
I wouldn't say I've been very patient this week. I'll have a patient word at the top of my voice.
Will you stop doing that?
And then he says, say sorry. Oh. And I'll say, I'm not saying sorry. I didn't hit. Well, you say sorry. But then when you're a mum going to a four-year-old, you say sorry.
Yes.
It doesn't feel right.
No, it
I don't say sorry. You say sorry.
Well, also, I think there's they're very good at dragging you into an argument. But before you know where you are, and I remember Tilly used to look at me out the corner of her eye and then go, that door's blue. And I'd go, no, it's not, darling, it's red. And she'd say, no,
oh,
it's
God.
Blue. And it would just, and I'd fall for it. I would fall for it every sodding time. And then think, oh my God, it's, you know, she's got me. And I had to sort of go, I am 32 years old. I do not need to be arguing with.
It's so pathetic, isn't it? It's actually not blue. And I should know because I've had my eyes tested. For all I know, you're colorblind because you're only four. Okay? So get over it. It's blue. What mummy says is right. Okay? It must be like Helen living with Lee, isn't it? Helen, that window is grey. It's not Lee, actually. It's white. Don't say it again. She was poor Lee. I mean, I don't know whether to say poor Lee. He was so pathetic, wasn't he, with Pat and Tony.
Oh, God.
Is scrumptious a word, Pat? What?
God. Don't look at me. I wear myself Helen, again.
Helen's fine. She's really fine. Okay, she's not fine.
He just folded like a pack of cards, like a house of cards, didn't he? Just so absolutely easy. Useless.
But again,
all Pat had to do was look at him out the corner of her eye and go, is Helen all right, Lee? And then he was that's... like, oh, she's not. No, it's all
no, but that is all she had to do. And it could have been done with one line. But instead, again, it was that you said she was okay. You said she, what do you mean she's not fine? Yeah. She's fine. She's not fine. But no, she's fine. But you said she wasn't
blundering
fine.
Blundering around going, is she fine or not? Is she fine or not? We want to know. I realised what Tony reminded me of. You know when you get a really fat, drowsy fly and it's just crashing, crashing into the light fitting endlessly?
Oh, I hate
it's too
those
drowsy
flies. Because
it's to either bugger off or die or whatever. Is... And it just buzzes around, getting in everyone's way. That's what Tony...
That is Tony. And he's just getting slower and slower and more annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Helen's just going to come down with a... No, Natasha will come down on him with a stiletto. Squash him.
Come on, Tony. Time for Dignitas. Come with me.
I think as well, Natasha loves having a bit of power over Tom, doesn't she? In that her knowing about the Jess situation and Tom not. Because it was quite interesting that Tom reminded us about when Natasha went out looking for Blake. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Because Kirsty had asked Tom for help, hadn't she? And then he said no.
Yeah.
And Natasha went instead. She loves having a bit of
one-upmanship.
Too. Yeah. Yeah, well, you'd think she'd be all right. She's got the modelling now. I think there's going to be another job offered to them with that.
Right. Yes, that's what she was going to tell Tom, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Or that they were going to ask if they could, you know, because I think originally the pictures were only going to be shown not in this territory.
Do you think they're going to be on tote bags now?
Yeah. No, they're going to be sponsoring Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah.
On Saturday night.
On every drum of fertiliser and every fertiliser lorry sold throughout the United Kingdom and Europe.
On those massive lorries.
Massive lorry with two scary twins staring out at you.
Frightening people. They'll wake every tired driver up.
So Tony and Pat will be trundling along up to where I was going, Tony? Doesn't that look...
And Tony love it up.
Yeah. Oh dear.
And what else?
And what else? Ardil.
And what else?
They're trying to make us like Ardil, aren't they?
They also make him very posh, don't they? Him and Alice, I feel sort of suffer from the slightly overdoing the poshness, so that it doesn't.
Well, lots of people today said.
Yeah.
Not today, this week on the Twitters.
Oh yeah.
How often Ardil sounds completely different. So people are forever saying, "Is this a new Ardil?"
Yes.
We've only had the old Ardil for about 2 weeks.
No, I thought this week he'd... I can't remember which other character poshed themselves. Oh, sometimes Freddie poshes himself up a bit. But I think Ardil had poshed himself up a bit. Oh, no, that is... this is not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
You know, like they give him that sort of English gentlemanly public school.
Because he hasn't found his character yet. His voice is slipping around a little bit.
Yeah.
And if people are mistaking him for... Because people were going, is that... Because somebody thought it was Tom. Somebody thought it was Josh or Alistair or somebody. And they was going, it took them a while to figure out who was talking.
Yeah.
Someone saying, "Hello, Ardil," was the giveaway. But anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's... because he doesn't have much of a character yet.
Yes.
He's a bit of an everyman. He just slops in everywhere and we don't actually know who he is or what he's about.
Well, the sort of Graham Greene banter was, as you said, quite rightly, it was a bit patronising, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We want to just assume that Ardil, you know, has excellent reading taste and isn't just a corporate... But they do try so hard to make him sound... more interesting than a corporate bore.
Well,
but it actually makes things worse.
Can I say something controversial?
Oh my gosh, Lucy.
Well, we've pissed off the gays of the Welsh.
It's fine, we're recording post-watershed.
Yeah. Ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, I'm a bit worried about what we're going to say.
It's not that bad.
We can always edit it out. Okay, go on then. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
There's a sort of... Ooh.
Oh my God, here she goes. It's fine, Lucy. Let's leave a gap in case we need to edit it.
I'm doing my Lamar's breathing. I think that there is a tendency on Radio 4 in general to make anybody that is successful or financially well off to make them appear to be some sort of corporate lackey rather than just letting them be like the real world, where most of us are corporate lackeys because we have to go out and earn a living. And we have to work for companies and we have to do boring jobs and we have to use words like, going forward, etc. And that isn't hilarious. It's just life. I mean, it is hilarious because it's a ridiculous thing to say. But there's this everybody. There is nobody. Brian has the piss ripped. Obviously, Matt was a crook. Justin, Lillian, anybody that...
They're sort of punished for being...
Yeah, and for being...
successful.
Yeah, and
well,
for being capitalist.
I thought this week they were actually really unfair to Justin. All he'd done was, even if he'd done it superficially, done some shifts in the village shop and all that, because he wanted to be... It's not the end of the world to want to have an award.
He hadn't actually burned down an orphanage, as far as we know.
Well,
you know,
I thought Jim was just a bit mean about it. Like, if it's your mate, or even if it's not your mate, but it's someone in the village, and they're like, "All right, I'll come clean. I'm only doing this because I want to be a shoo-in." But that's the thing. I know he is, you know, becoming more and more the sort of corporate, the capitalist villain. But it's not that big a deal, is it? So surely most people who want awards, you know, will go, "Oh, I'll do this bit of charity work and this bit of charity work," and then they'll give me a halo at the end of the week. I thought Jim was just... I don't like the way that Jim is becoming a bit arrogant and mean.
Yes.
You know, when Jim is loveliest when he's talking to Jazza and being
funny
and sweet.
Jim is, because he is, you know, extremely intelligent and well-read and erudite and everything else, I think he sort of takes it upon himself to be the arbiter of what is morally correct and what is not.
Yeah.
And it's not up to him, the fact that he does it quite entertainingly, because I did find that extremely funny and really well done, with Justin getting more and more frustrated with him hopping round. Will you just give me the form? And he'd left it, you know, and then he'd written rude. He'd basically written bum willy poo poo all over it. Which wasn't very
But
nice.
I didn't quite understand the end of that storyline. In that it just basically, in the end, he didn't hand it in.
Yeah.
And then...
That was another one. That was another cut and shut where, you know, it was the different end than what we were all expecting.
Yeah, yeah. But...
Was it that he was worried that Jim was going to sort of expose him?
Yeah, I guess so. But in a way, there was nothing to expose. I mean, I assume everybody who entered Borsetshire Business of the Year had done a bit of faux volunteering.
Well, of course. I mean...
It's just the nature of it, isn't it?
What do they think? All the actors that do charity work and all the sports people that do charity work and the flipping politicians that donate. And
if it's Borsetshire Business Person of the Year or whatever it was, aren't they going to mostly look at your business decisions?
No, it was
Isn't it more going to be on that?
Business Angel, wasn't it?
Oh, Business Angel. Mm. Oh, yeah, it was Helen who got Borsetshire Business Personage of the Year. Blue cheese. Vintage year.
Borchester Blue Cheese Person of the Year. She got
of the year.
I think that there's a bit of a thing with the script writers about
stereotyping.
Because I don't think any of them have come from business. I think they have mostly just been writers all their lives. And there is this kind of slightly snotty,
but then I suppose
bohemian
in a way,
artist way of looking at anybody that.
Yes. But I guess as well, maybe as well in the village. I mean, we're sort of, you know, we're all sort of with the farmers, aren't we, in the village? And so the business people who come in are like outsiders.
Yeah, we're with the farmers like the Archers. We're against the farmers like Brian Aldridge. Because one of them is successful. So that's, you know.
We're all the Grundies.
Yeah.
But we'd secretly like to be Elizabeth. Yes. If Nigel hadn't fallen off the roof.
I'd only want to be Elizabeth if Nigel had fallen off the roof.
Yeah, but then you'd have to go out with Vince.
Oh. No, I wouldn't, because he's disappeared.
Yeah, but you couldn't snog David, because then he'd be your brother. That would be too weird.
You're horrid. I'm telling Rex on you. But I'll make him thump you again.
It was good to have Mia being...
Completely mad.
Was it good?
She was going, I've got contacts. I've got a network.
When she was going, yeah, Justin, because you're a bright boy and you're a badass or whatever she was going, I hadn't clocked that she was just reflecting what he'd said to her.
Yeah.
Because he patronised her, didn't she? Yeah. And you're a bright girl, dear. Yes. They kept calling her dear, didn't they? Yeah. And then when she was, I didn't clock at first, because I was putting my stuff in the tumble dryer, that she was... So I thought, oh, she's speaking oddly as well. But then, of course, it was because she was like right back at you.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get that bit.
Oh, you didn't?
At all.
Did you just think she was being weird?
I just thought she was being very strange.
She was.
And also, kind of, she hasn't got those things. She hasn't got... she has literally got
she's
Brad.
Not a very active activist,
no.
is she? She's done one thing.
Yeah. And that didn't work. And she
turned some sides around.
Yeah, and she didn't even do that. She got Brad to. But it's just... and I'm not sure that as a sort of capitalist, as an environmental protester, she would want anything to do with Justin, even though, because he's... This week was all... I would have taken the piss saying it was all about people being unable to keep secrets, but it was all about people doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. So he's doing the charging point, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
He's doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
He's supporting the local shop and blah, 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 but he's doing it for the wrong reasons. And George was fixing the bench for the wrong reasons and all that.
Yeah, good point. George is definitely going to have his comeuppance.
Oh, I hope so. I hope he's...
Oh, yeah. He's definitely...
I hope he gets shot by Pat in mistake for Rob.
Oh, did I... That's what we said last week, wasn't it? We said, Pat, it's going to be Pat with the gun in the conservatory.
Yeah.
In the cheese room.
Yeah.
because there has been so many, one mention of the gun before this week.
But we all went, a gun? Pat?
Oh, thank you. Sorry, Rufus has just come in with a bottle of wine. I'm not drinking the whole thing. Thanks so much. I just really needed a tiny bit more. Thank you. Thanks, Ruth. Because, well, it's been a long week.
By the time you move out of there, it'll be a case. They'll be bringing boxes of wine with straw.
I haven't drunk wine for ages, actually. Been quite sort of off it lately. Back on now.
Further bulletin. Further bulletin.
So what is say, Lucy?
I don't know.
I'm just going to repeat everything you say. The gun.
And I'm going to talk at the same time as you.
He wasn't. Was he? No. A gun.
Do you think he's trying to bring in a more naturalist dialogue?
Yes. Honestly, I think that's what it is. Because in his Radio 4 plays, they're always like that, aren't they? And I think it is quite naturalistic.
Yeah.
If you... Because I suppose in a way...
Properly.
If you're listening. Oh, I couldn't... Also, what made me cringe was the Brian-Chris banter. About the tea towels and all that. I found that... sort of made my skin crawl a bit. Well, Brian, when I was left on my own, your wife didn't die. She was an alcoholic. Yeah. But I had to manage on my own and I had to find a place for the tea towels. They're never where you think they... I just found all that really a bit naff, didn't you?
Yeah.
I don't know that they...
They've never put anything away before in their lives.
Exactly.
And if they haven't, then they deserve to not be able to find anything because that's...
But it was like bonding over the placement of a dishcloth.
Yeah.
Didn't ring true for me.
No.
Oh, I feel so horrible. I thought it was a brilliant week. It was just some of the bants just didn't do it for me.
Yep.
But I do like the style. I like the naturalistic style.
Yes. I'm not sure. But I very much enjoyed, I know you found it a bit cruel, but I enjoyed Jimus. I always enjoy a bit of Jimus.
Yeah, you do actually.
I always enjoyed Jimus. I very much enjoyed Jimus.
Yeah. I wasn't
winding Justin up.
But this is a very important question, which I nearly forgot to ask you. Mm-hmm. Is Ethan Rob's son?
Yes. No.
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 Whose son is he then? Was Rob with Jess and Jess had already had a son?
I think Jess had an affair or something. I'm not sure. I can't remember.
I feel like they didn't really give us much info. Yeah, because, you know, usually they would say, Rob's son, or, you know, to remind us. But nobody reminded us of that critical information. And then I was like, oh, he's 8. So Jack must be about 5. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, Jess is a bit of a wet blanket. I mean, no offence, Jess. But, God, come on, love. It's been years. I felt a bit sorry for her, didn't you?
I've driven hours across the country with her, and then all you've got to say for yourself is that he's in the country, which we knew already.
And then Jess was like, oh, you're so lucky, Helen, that you've got a friend.
Even if it is that gobby Welsh cow. Yes, she bloody well has. The Twitters were saying, the conspiracy theorists on Twitter. We said, didn't we, last week that they'd all, everyone's start going, oh, it's him! Every time, we're all now going to start linking things frantically. And they said, Jess said she didn't have any friends. And then she said she was driving to Borchester to see a friend.
No!
Yes.
Oh my God, I completely missed that.
So did I. So,
wow. People listen really carefully. That must be people who aren't multitasking.
Yes, they've got headphones on.
Which, quite frankly,
they're in a soundproof booth. They're transcribing the script. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you'd have to write that down to remember it. Yeah. Wow.
So they reckon that she's back with Rob, or that she's talking to Rob. And that she was sent to find out if Helen was still at Bridge Farm. And,
oh, my God.
About Jack and all that stuff. But he could very easily find that because she's plastered all over the sodding Bridge Farm website, isn't she? She's Helen Archer, Borchester Businesswoman of the Year, blah, 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 blah. And I know she's also careful to keep the boys out of it, but, you know, she's still
maybe
there.
He's going to spot the twins on a lorry.
Yeah.
Recognise their little faces as being...
Follow
that lorry. Yeah. Or I wonder if he's going to kidnap the twins or...
Yeah.
I'm sure it's definitely all going to get very dramatic and murky.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, if anyone can deal with Rob, I'm fairly confident it's Natasha.
Yes. Even more so than Pat.
Lee,
I thought Pat was going to go...
karate chop him in the nuts and Helen can clonk... Natasha can clonk him over the head with her handbag.
Go on, Lee. Do a karate chop. Yeah. I can't. I'm scared. I thought Pat was like... I'm going to deal with him the only way I know how.
Yeah.
I'm going to refuse to offer him any soup.
I'm now seeing...
I loved Pat when she just went, I can't remember. She said something really cool and intense.
I see myself killing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very cool. It was a great ending.
I'm now imagining Pat... as sort of Clint Eastwood in a sort of Stetson and narrowed eyes. And a,
but that's the thing, isn't it? When and Pat and Tony go to...
And a fringed suede waistcoat.
Yeah, when Pat and Tony go to bed at night, when they're sort of nodding off, their fantasies are completely different, aren't they? There's Tony sort of going, choo-choo, choo-choo.
Tony's Thomas the Tank Engine.
And Pat's got her... diddle-diddle-oo,
the woman with no name.
Oh dear.
Right.
Anyway. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
I'll lean back in my chair now, Lucy.
Okay. So
and
is this,
do some
is
listening.
This where I do some drinking. Yes. Well, Rob, after you got a fan letter last week, I've got a fan letter this week because Rob Williams is as big a fan of the happiest days of your life. And Margaret Rutherford, and he said, we must be soulmates. Would you be Miss Gossage to my Weatherby Pond? Who are the two main characters in...
That is... You're basically Ardell, you two. Yeah. Go and read your PG Woodhouse.
Several people messaged, Sandra Jenkinson being one, to say that Toby sold Scruff gin to a distiller a few years ago.
Okay. Thank you for that. We'd forgotten.
Joe O'Leary has done a terrifying thing and tried to produce an Archer script using ChatGPT.
That's such a good idea. Of course. It can do it. Can it do an Archer script in the style of Nick Warburton?
That's probably a bridge too far. It says, presenter, welcome to another episode of The Archers. In today's episode, secrets are revealed and long-standing relationships are put to the test. Let's tune in to see what's happening in Ambridge. Well, that's every week. So that's a bit cheaty. This is about, and then she's told it to talk about Pip being pregnant. And she tells Toby, and Toby says, whose is it? And she says, actually, it's somebody I had a fling with at university. So it's just gone a very soapy tropey route of unexpected pregnancy. So ChatGPT, you are no Nick Warburton. That's all we're going to say about that.
Yeah, but one day it will be.
Yeah.
Probably in about 18 months. Well, it's learning all the time, Lizzie.
She, Jo, is hoping, she says, I'm very much hoping that the Rob coming back, that Lee sees this as a way out from a life with Helen. A prison sentence for dispatching Rob with Pat's rabbit gun feels like a good option. He's a karate person for a reason.
Yes.
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 Laurie Jones in America says, I'm always at least a week, usually two behind, so my comments are generally old news. Harriet, I do apologise for this because I know you sometimes have trouble remembering what happened 2 days before, let alone 2 weeks. Ha ha ha, that is a joke. I adore you, she says. So, in my accidental new role as advocate for the put-upon elderly parents of selfish, annoying adult children, I find myself completely understanding Jenny's bequest to Martha with Chris as trustee. And regardless of whether she has enough separate property to fund it, I'm sure Brian will honour her wishes and make it happen. I'm guessing that Jenny, like me, did not believe for a moment that Alice would remain sober for the rest of her days. Jennifer was snooty and often naive, but she had real-life experience. Her father was an alcoholic and it eventually killed him. Alice wants to stay sober, but it's extremely rare that sobriety sticks after one try. Jenny knew Alice. She knows that Alice is neurotic and needy and stubborn and immature. Ooh. I'm sure she had every hope that Alice would stay sober, and if Alice does stay sober, no harm done in making the bequest. But hope isn't enough. You don't make investments based on hope. You make them based on odds. And odds are that Chris may really need that 15k someday to help him raise Martha when Alice relapses. Addiction is a deadly disease. Jenny knew this. And if Alice feels that her mummy didn't trust her to stay sober, well, good. If she's pushed into a relapse because of the will, it would have happened anyway. If she views the bequest as her mom directing her from the grave to double down on her recovery program, great. Well done, Jenny.
Well, what we didn't find out was how much Jenny had left the kids, if she had left them anything. But I assume she hadn't left them anything and it would all go to Brian and then he'd leave the kids some stuff. Because if I was Chris, I think Chris should have been more offended than Alice. Because Alice should have just been like, yeah, fair enough. Mm. I'll probably have another relapse at some point. Nice one, Mum. But Chris should have been sort of like, oh, well, she doesn't even trust me then because... You know, why would it? Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Know.
Yeah.
It's sort of not trusting that he could cope on his own.
But she'd seen how much he struggled when he had to look after for Martha on his own.
Yeah.
And he had to rope his parents in and he had to rope everyone in. And
I think she did it.
Going.
I think she did it entirely for that scene to have existed.
Yeah.
Between Chris, Adam and Ian.
Thanks, Jenny. From beyond the grave. Bloody hell. Helen, Celine, you know our What the Hell is Happening? What the Hell is Happening here?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Helen, Celine got it right and said that Joe had locked... This was, do you remember last week?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Jenny had locked... Joe had locked Vicky out in the village hall because the Gardener's Question Time man was visiting and recording Gardener's Question Time in Ambridge. And Joe had done some scheme where he'd spun a story about some plant or something to sell it. And Vicky was going to ask a question which would have exposed his scheme. So he locked her out, but she made her way in and asked her question. Hurrah! It was something like that anyway, she says.
That's incredible knowledge. I definitely didn't listen to that episode.
This is rude, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to cover my ears then.
Okay.
Take my headphones off.
This is from Linda Evans. Do you remember last week I recommended a podcast called A Very British Cult?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Linda didn't hear cult.
Stop it.
She said she rewound twice and heard exactly the same thing. Thought, I'm checking this one out. Went to BBC Sounds. Aha! She said.
BBC Sounds are so down with the culture of today.
But when she actually said that, I was thinking, who would that be about?
Actually be quite a good podcast.
It would. There's a number
I mean,
of candidates.
You were thinking of a person. And I was thinking of more the noun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, it would make a very interesting podcast.
Either way, exactly.
It must be commissioned.
Linda, thank you. Helen Sherwood is talking about Bill Nighy, and who wouldn't be?
Oh, God, yeah.
Look up John Taylor from Duran Duran as he is now and compare him to Bill Nighy, she says. She says, on another note, Lindsay Giles can now resurrect his Free the Blossom Cottage 1 t-shirt with picture of a tuna bake on it. And she says, Brad, what a numpty. Well, he's a nice numpty. Have you looked up John Taylor?
I'm looking him up now because I can only sort of find old photos of him. Oh. Oh, Lucy.
What?
I think you're going to go a bit quivery.
Am I?
Oh, he's very handsome.
He was always my favourite. I didn't fancy Simon Le Bon until he fell off his boat. And then because I like rescuing people, I immediately quite fancied him.
Yeah, I mean, there's not enough photos of him now, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I wonder if he's had a tiny little bit of work done. But he's got such a great head of hair.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Yes.
Do you see?
Yes.
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 Oh, yeah. There's a picture where he's sort of pursing his lips a bit.
Yeah.
There's actually a bit of Bill Nighy about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Very nice.
Thank you for that, Helen. For brightening up our evening.
New poster for the wall.
Shell Harris says, yeah. As Rob returns and we reach for the gin in a protective layer, I will see your Mamma Mia. Death clunky and proves the point that jukebox musicals are simply a three-legged wooden cash cow. Happiest day of your life. Never seen it, never heard of it before. And Rosie, my favourite film of all time, the ever comforting, familiar and glorious Jurassic Park. And I will hear nothing against it. Anyway, she says, back over to Carrie, on with you, and then this week's Rob-induced panic. Thanks, Shell.
It's a good thing we have the Archers in common.
Yes, because we have bugger all else, clearly. Steve Parrott says, will, the document, not the Grundy. Keep hearing the phrase, you can't change the will. Oh, yes, you can. And I speak from direct experience. Provided all the beneficiaries agree and sign a deed of variation, then a will can be changed with no problems. Whether Irish would want to do that or not is moot, of course, and getting all the Aldridges to agree, ..
Yeah, she doesn't really. She really wants Martha to have the money so Martha can give it to her somehow.
Apparently, last week, because we were talking about Wales and Welsh, everyone's adverts were in Welsh. So, I'm sorry, I don't know.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it, for Wales?
Yeah. I mean, it's just nobody knew what the adverts were for. That was the issue.
Unless they spoke Welsh.
Yes.
And you obviously would have done, Lucy, because you speak good Welsh.
Obs. Yes.
Hoffy coffee.
I am Hoffy coffee, which I got wrong anyway, because he told me I got it wrong. Dear Cooper and crew, from Steve Barry, who says, I have to say that after recent events, I feel very sorry for Lee. I know he is wetter than an otter's pocket at times, but first of all, his daughter's going abroad and now he gets to deal with Helen in full Rob flight.
Oh, yeah, poor
Lee. It's possibly
Lee.
More than he should be required to cope with.
His lastly, life would have been so much better without Helen.
Lastly, with regard to things and films that made you cry, my lovely wife made me go and see P.S. I Love You at the cinema. It is not my usual style of film, but we were fairly newly married at the time. I cried from beginning to end. Just as I started to get a grip and the crying was under control, another ruddy letter would pop up and I'd go again. I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that.
I vaguely remember it, actually. Soppy rom-com, isn't it?
Well,
I might check. I think now, it's on Netflix.
Chris Burrows, who says this is more legal eagling. With respect to my learned colleague Robin from California, I write as an English probate solicitor to defend the scriptwriter's take on Jennifer's legacy for Martha. Under English law, couples don't have community of property and each spouse will often own assets in their sole names, which they are free to leave however they choose under the terms of their individual wills. Then he goes on to explain about joint tenancies and things. He said the surviving spouse can live in the house or receive any income generated during their lifetime, but they don't own the deceased share of the capital, which is ring-fenced in the trust to pass to their children. Good protection in case a survivor remarries. I'm looking at you, Bran, he says. So the spouse does not need to know anything about the terms of the will or consent to any amendments. Jennifer was free to leave a legacy in trust for Martha, and Alice is right. Chris can't just divvy it up how he likes. If Jennifer had any sense, she would have had a significant amount tucked away in her running away fund. Not just an old love letter and a bag of milk teeth.
I was listening to all that legal advice, but also I was checking out P.S. I Love You, which only gets one star on Rotten Tomatoes. Oof. But it's not really it's sort of rommy commy, but it's a young widow whose dead husband has written her letters.
Oh.
So, like, she gets... He's left her 10 messages.
Oh, I see.
Intended to help ease her pain and start a new life.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful.
Oh, Steve. Anyway, Alice's anguish over the will could have been assuaged if Jennifer had left a letter explaining her decision in the solicitor's storage with her will. That's very true.
Yeah.
Thankfully, though, they haven't used the cliched reading of the will, which I regularly have to explain to clients only occurs in bad detective fiction.
Oh.
What puzzles me is why there hasn't been any mention of Jenny Darling's share of the farm partnership. Was she not a partner? Potentially, there could have been an opportunity to save inheritance tax by passing the shares to the children rather than to a surviving spouse. But that's a ramble for another time.
She was a partner.
Thank you, Chris. Yes.
Yes. Very good point.
Yes.
What happens now?
I don't know. Don't ask
me. I don't know. To be honest, I've had too much wine. I don't care. Whatever. Do what you want with the money. Share it out. I think, like, Chris was very clever at the end, wasn't he, by going, actually, it's really good that Jenny didn't leave Xander the money because it just shows what great parents you are. And then they were like, yeah, he doesn't need the money. No, we're really good parents. Oh, cheers, Chris. No. Okay, we're not going to fight him.
Yeah. James Everett. This very good point, James, here. What's happened to Kirsty, Helen's supposed best friend?
Oh,
as she
my
supported
God.
Her while she was with Rob, you'd think Helen would tell her, at least over Natasha. Does Helen even like Natasha?
Oh,
it
my God.
It seems that Krusty has been cast out to the land of ex-best friends along with Usha, who has now been replaced by Stella in Reedsize.
Yes, theory, that is such a good point.
My theory is Helen brought Natasha along as her personal human shield in case Rob attacked. Easy way to get rid of her and her anti-organic lifestyle. Second theory... Krusty's too busy to help Helen because she is pregnant. Krusty and Eric got busy and now she's pregnant. She'll have the baby and co-parent with Roy. These are the only possible reasons for what has happened. Thanks, James.
Those are all...
Fan club. P.S. Where is Pip? You can't
She also got pregnant by Eric and is suffering some morning sickness. We haven't heard from Pip for a while and there's been a lot going on at the farm.
Really, for James, because he's the sole member of a... fan club for a person who never speaks.
She's been off for a while and Kirsty's been off for a while, which is never a good thing.
No.
Maybe she is preggers.
He's also sent him one of one of his archive clips.
Oh, and... yay, this is so exciting. What's our piece called again? What's this feature called?
What the hell is happening here?
What the hell is happening here?
I was really shocked at this.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
What? This clip.
Yeah.
Hang on. I have to. Hang on. Is this like we've pretended to put a jingle in? What the hell is happening here?
Driver, can you glance to your left, please?
Don't distract him.
No, it was a horrid night. Let him concentrate.
Well, I'd have to see him in his swimming trunks to know if it's Daniel Craig.
Yeah, that's true.
Chance of another vodka?
Yeah, of course. Pass the glass.
Where's the guy taking us anyway? I'd have gone on the main road.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, then there was an accident, apparently. Long tailback.
Mm. Oh, well, it's nice and cosy in here.
Yeah. Is there anything else apart from the bar?
And it's a well-stocked bar. Do you want some tonic with this?
Oh, better had, I suppose.
There you go. How about you, Nick? Spot more gin in there.
Oh, yeah, why not? I'll be married woman soon.
We better have a large one then.
There goes half the gin.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that.
What was it? Something in the road.
A rock, I think.
Silly thing for someone to leave in the road.
Well, Daniel will get it sorted. Hey, let's hear it for Daniel.
Daniel! Oh. It's going to get mighty wet, poor guy.
Ooh, Daniel in a wet shirt, eh? This could be getting interesting.
Oh, my God.
That was... Oh, I was about to give away what's going
wow.
on.
Wow. Was that Nick's hen do?
Yes.
And it in the car.
Harriet,
was...
you know the concept of the game when you ask people to read the answer.
Oh, but I want to play.
Yeah, but now you've played and now you've ruined it for everyone else. Oh, yeah. You just gave them the answer.
I know, but I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened at the end. I gave.
I think it was Matt Crawford that they hit with the minibus.
No, but can they write in? I know I really want to genuinely know what they hit.
Yeah.
What did they hit and who was it?
And did they survive?
Oh, but I loved hearing that. The old voices.
Yeah.
Was Amy there? Amy Brenda. Schindler. I mean, was it Brenda?
Yeah.
God, so Brenda wasn't it then?
Yeah.
Oh, I really... Oh, that actually made
and
me
Nick
really...
as well.
Yeah. I felt really... I felt like I was listening to my old friends.
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it? I wish they were both of them. Because it was really nice to hear them all a big girl gang.
Yeah.
Anyway, what the hell was happening there on Nick's head night? How many years ago was that then?
Oh, I don't know. I'm terrible at chronologies.
Who's the... maybe... Was it 10 years ago? Can't have been that long ago.
James is headed this evening. Oh, it comes... 2011. Oh, no! The clip comes from 2011. That was the Gardener's Question Time clip.
Oh, okay.
I don't know when this one came from.
Okay. Well, anyway, do write in and let us know...
What
was in the road. Thank you.
I love the way James has headed his email. I can't remember what it's called. So it's his own segment and he can't remember the name of it.
I mean, he can just call it what he wants. James, you do the hard work. We will call it what you want. Thanks. I love these. I love it. I love these blasts from the past.
Yeah. This is from Claire Everett, who said... The whole Brad George Oliver bench thing has been tedious. What was the point? And the point was that Brad decided he wasn't going to follow.
Yes, that was the point. The journey he went on.
It was not as tedious as the let's find Alice a hobby conversation. The last thing that woman needs is to be in an enclosed space with Neil and Chris and some hefty clangers. Anyway, disappointing news from the Everetts. Dan has gone the way of Brad and been led astray by the bright lights of rap music and looking at himself in the mirror. He now proclaims the Archers to be, quote, too much effort, unquote. So we're a man down.
Oh,
luckily,
no.
James is not such a letdown and is keeping the youth element alive.
Oh, also, in spades, just doing a brilliant job and keeping our podcast alive.
He's got an
alive.
Entire segment. I mean, he can't remember what it's called, but he has got one. Yes, well, James, you will find, no, not James, Daniel, you will find that life is frequently too much effort. But there we are, love. Yes.
But Dan will come back
He will. He'll go away to university and then feel a bit sad and a bit homesick.
Yeah, when he gets homesick, he'll tune in at 7 p.m. before he goes out.
Now, we have a real archivist listening.
Wow.
He's called Alexander Hodge, and he said that he is a qualified archivist from Liverpool University. I've got the wonderful acronym MARM. This stands for Master of Archives and Records Management.
Wow.
He got the answer right about the Gardener's Question Time thing.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we were saying that I couldn't get a mental picture of Lower Loxley in my head. A mental picture. He said, when I picture Lower Loxley, I see Hanbury Hall in Worcestershire. This is because this National Trust property was the inspiration for Lower Loxley. It's not far from Inkborough. I was reminded of Hanbury Hall when Freddie was telling Nolitando that Lower Loxley was completed in 1702 when he gave her the guided tour. Hanbury Hall was completed in 1706.
Ooh, I'm looking it up. Hanbury Hall. Oh, yeah, National Trust. Oh, yeah. Worcestershire?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that is sort of how I see... That's how I imagine Lower Loxley.
Okay.
I wonder if they've drawn it on the map a bit like that. You know when they draw the locations on the website? I can't remember if they put Lower Loxley on there.
They have, but they've just sort of done a sort of...
They covered it in trees and ivy.
A beamed house miles out, yeah.
Oh. No, this is... Actually, it's much nicer than I thought it was.
Oh.
It's very nice. Very, very nice. Oh, there's Neil. No. that looks
Alexander
very nice.
Also has discovered, because he did some research, he found out that one of his ancestors, his great-great-grandmother, married two brothers and had confusing children, and they couldn't work out whose son belonged to which brother. She Maria went from one brother to another. I can't find any record of their wedding, so I currently presume that both their spouses were still alive when my great-great-grandmother was born. I've also found out that John McLeod and Marianne Head's son was a bigamist too. So it's sort of... there was a lot of that because the record-keeping was non-existent but it was very, very vague and sort of relied on people just telling you the truth to the census. People would frequently get married, have a family, leave... to go to the other end of the country to get another job and just start another family again completely. And and nobody could trace it because how could they?
Yeah, that's too weird.
He said, who knew that bell ringing could mitigate the effects of alcoholism? Well, exactly. And also, if you went into my freezer now for my funeral tea, you'd find lots of hot cross buns, bags of individual roast pork, meals left over from Christmas, leftover Christmas turkey, corn mince, and finally two lots of vegan puddings. I don't think I'd even eat a vegan pudding at a funeral, to be honest. And he said, I felt so worried for Brad on Tuesday that I couldn't listen on normal speed.
Oh.
I listened to it on double speed, which was very strange. I don't think I'll be doing it again.
Poor old Brad. I just didn't...
Oh, sorry, Alex, not Alexander Hodge. Sorry, Alex.
I knew it would all be okay.
I'm still...
Balaclava? Tottenham Hotspur? No, I can't remember who it was. Who was it? West Ham? No, who was the football club?
Aston Villa.
Aston Villa? Yeah. Yeah, like Balaclava? Baseball cap? That's right. The whole interview was just that, wasn't it?
I just loved him going...
Shadowy figures.
How many?
Oh, Brad. Brad.
18? I think, or maybe two, I don't know.
I did actually, I really liked Georgie when he was talking to, when Oliver was going, oh, well, then actually there will be consequences because Ardil's phoned the police. And he's, and then Brad and George was just like, yeah, sweet, sick, sweet. He was really funny the way he
kept calling himself a scumbag. So I can't believe people did that. Yeah, scumbags. And he said, and then these people, and he said, scumbags. Yes.
That was really funny.
This is from Patricia Johnson in Hampshire, who said, I have had a mixed up week. I wrote too early last week trying to stand up for George Grundy. George had a few good days working at Bridge Farm and seemed to take a shine to Ardil. His character is still forming. He's not a baddie. Bull hockey. He's a cad and a bounder. We all know what happened Thursday and Friday and beyond. I feel very old suddenly, just like Oliver. That's quite poignant, I think.
Yeah.
Because I think that is what Oliver felt.
He felt real hurt.
He felt that he knew them, especially Brad. Yeah. And then to be let down like that is,
And then actually also when you suddenly do think, oh, maybe I don't know this person. Mm. It's quite disorientating, isn't it?
Yeah. I love the idea of a meetup at... what's it called again?
Alsford, Lothay.
We live in Bournemouth. My husband has said recently that we should go to some different fairs this year. Therefore, the Watercress Festival is penciled in. Are we wearing mustard yellow armbands? No, we are not.
Should we wear little pig costumes or something?
Well, you can. Last night, walking the dogs, listening to Helen and Natasha drive to meet Jess, the penny dropped. Jess and Rob come from Hampshire. I knew that in the back of my mind, but now it seems more real than ever. I started to worry. What if Rob is at the Watercress Festival?
Oh my God,
what
you
are
see?
We leading ourselves into?
Oh my God.
Da, da, da.
This could be incredible.
Be safe, be seen. Love to all, Patricia.
Patricia, I think, has got a point. Mm. I think we need to be on guard.
We will. Like Natasha.
Can I be what was Natasha? That thing? Was it lasagna bake? What was the...
Tuna bake.
There was no watercress involved.
Can I wear a fake fur gilet and some high-heeled suede boots?
Yeah, you going as Natasha?
Yeah.
Go as Lee.
Yeah.
And just come in my karate costume. I did used to do judo, so...
Did you?
Yeah.
I bet you did. I could just imagine it.
Yeah. I was pretty good. I stayed a white belt for 3 years. Never progressed. I think I got a chocolate medal or something.
What was the problem? How bad were you?
It's hard. It's hard doing judo. I could do all the bowing. Actually, I really genuinely loved it. But I
bowing?
Just wasn't very good.
What do you mean I could do the bowing? Any idiot could do the bowing.
No, Lucy, no. So you have to be calm. You have to do your breathing and then you do your bow. I can't remember what the bow's called. You know, they've all got funny words. Well, not funny words. They mean something in another language, but I don't know what language it was.
Oh, my God.
Sen, how, that sort of thing.
Japanese
I can smell the mats.
Can you?
That was in Hampshire. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
You've had quite a lot to drink now, haven't you?
Oh, God, I'm so tired. Aren't you feeling really tired?
No.
I'm so tired.
I'm still full of beans. I could go on for hours, Harriet. No, I can't really.
Can I just for the listeners, it is past 10 p.m.
Yes.
And for me and you, well, for me, yes. For me, that is, yes. Bed is a calling.
Yes. There is no sketch this week, chaps.
Sorry.
Because
I've been too tired.
Oh, hang on. I've got to do bumpy things because my mic's fallen off.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. You should get a lapel mic and then you can just jiggle around and still speak.
I don't jiggle around. I have no desire to jiggle around.
No, but you can do it if you want to.
I just became overexcited and knocked it off. Anyway, Mr. Newby has got a 17th birthday party.
Yay.
And Harriet has had to pack her entire house into some boxes. And it all became a bit much.
And we were just all too tired.
Yes. Yes. So now we're going to do Matt Rodriguez Payne, which
Hurrah!
Is great. There isn't a link. There isn't a link at all. I can't even shoehorn one in my usual style.
I'll think.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah. Oh, good. The entertainer. That was so good.
She's quite drunk though, Matt.
That's really perked me up, Lucy. I've got my second wind now.
Have you?
Should we keep going?
No, I'm flagging
that
now.
That was brilliant. Oh, that was really uplifting.
It was.
Was it the entertainer?
Yes.
Oh, I loved that. I think I used to be able to play it on the piano once.
Was that when you were doing your judo? Yeah.
I was doing too many things. That's why I never progressed.
I was
in
going
any
to say, is there anything you can't do? You didn't learn as a child.
Well, I only got to grade one in everything. And look at me now.
Drunk lady sitting in a toilet talking to herself.
I only had one. I mean, the first one was a half glass. I didn't want to push myself. Mm. And the second
Since
one was...
Since then you've had the bottle, though.
Yeah, basically. I'm going to sleep well. I loved that, Lucy. I'm actually going to listen again. Are you going to play out with it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I can listen again.
Bye-bye, everybody. We love
Thanks
you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Next week, there will be a sketch of some description.
Yay!
Who knows
and
what.
And we'll be Brighton Perky? Perky Bright?
Yeah. Perky Brightness.
Yeah, Perky
be.
Brights.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Bye-bye. We're going to go out with the entertainer. Thank you, Matt Rodriguez Payne.
Thank
as
you.
As always.
Oh, and thank he's now you
got
James.
A, he's now got a ceiling or whatever it was that was
oh,
being fixed.
Oh, thank God
fixed.
For that.
Yes.
Thank God. Yes. He was just playing in the rain. He was.
Right. Yes. And thank Good you, James, night. As well for the thing that you
for
can't
the,
remember.
For the feature that we can't ever remember what its name is.
Okay. Bye.
Good night. Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.